PCI's Coded Podcast. I'm Kristen Johansson, Editor-in-Chief of PCI Magazine. Sustainability continues to be front and center in the coatings industry, but many people I talk to feel that it is still a misunderstood and undervalued concept. I have asked Joshua Ackerman, Global Marketing Manager, and Chris Fitzgerald, Global Vice President, Case, Rubber, and Plastic Additives for Univar Solutions, to join me to discuss their experiences with sustainability, why companies should want to be more sustainable, and how they can achieve sustainability goals. Welcome, Josh and Chris.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, happy to be here. Thank you.
Yep, I'm excited to get this conversation underway. So let's go ahead and get started. My first question is that sustainability seems to be everywhere, especially at the American Coatings Show. I was overwhelmed at the volume of booths that were discussing sustainability. But what has your experience been when discussing sustainability with industry colleagues?
That's a great question, and I'll give you some real world experience. Recently, I've been asked to give a couple talks, as Josh, and most recently was at the Wisconsin Paint and Coating Association, and talked about Univar's kind of sustainability program and how that relates to us, but more importantly, how sustainability is relating to other businesses, even outside, right, the coating sector. Paint coating sector and how it's really interconnected, right? And how you can do more good for the environment, but it ends up being good for the company. And that sustainability is really a very big topic with many meetings and many relating, programs that help build up that culture of sustainability that we're trying to build at Univar Solutions and that we see in other companies. And there was this incredible engagement. I think there were 50, 60 people in the room asking great questions. And at the end of the talk, I said, how many of you have sustainability plan? Raise your hand. And I think there were three people that raised their hand out of 50, 60. And I said, okay, everybody else, how many of you are working on sustainability plan? And surprisingly, there were no other hands that went up. So, while there's a lot of buzz, I think that there is in the industry that we're on the forefront of it. And it's definitely something that's coming. I mean, there are websites out there that the EPA's one, right? You can go to the EPA website and see how they're classifying stage one, stage two, stage three, and why you should be looking at that. There are programs out there right now that I think are going to continue to evolve and change. And so, I think that the interest level is there because companies, both public and private, are seeing that, yes, down the road, there's going to be requirements. There are going to be requirements not only from the government, but I think from stakeholders within the company. I know that we have shareholders that, want to know what is Univar Solutions doing. I mean, we are a distribution company. We move products from point A to point B, and emissions is definitely one part of sustainability. And so they want to know, what are we doing to mitigate that? And what is our plan? And do we have set goals? Which we do. I'm very proud to say that, we're on the forefront of it. We have goals for and our sustainability report that's going to come out this month. For 2021, but what are we going to do by 2025, 2030, 2050? And how are we progressing? How are we meeting those goals? And quite honestly, I've already seen that our goals have been ratcheted up, that they've evolved. We've actually added two goals to our overall plan. So in talking to a lot of our suppliers, they're doing the same things. And I would say the other thing that was really interesting about the end of that discussion that I was a part of is I had a customer come up to me afterwards and say, as we're looking at this, we're trying to design a report card, and we want to rate all of our suppliers and that ship incoming goods to us to understand what is their plan and what are they doing and how does that impact me, and asked us to be a part of developing their plan for them. And that's what we're here for, right? I mean, to all be better. But I definitely think that there is, as you talk more and more about sustainability, there's the doing the right thing, right? Leaving the planet better than you got it today. But then there's the profitability standpoint. And I think that a lot of people hear sustainability and they think that, oh, it's just an expense. And I would actually argue there are many, many opportunities out there for companies that have sustainable programs. And, you know, one easy one is, you know, you can pick the stocks that you want to buy as an investor by companies that have sustainability programs. So, you know, that's one if you're a publicly traded company. Another very profitable one is when you hire people today that are entering the workforce, they want to feel good about the company that they work for and that they're working for a company that adds value and isn't, you know, hurting the environment, the earth, for their generation, for their next generation. And, you know, having a plan that you can proudly say, hey, this is what we're doing to improve. And these are the metrics that we're going and we're audited and this is us up front, attracts you in the workforce, and a tough workforce right now, to gain people that want to be a part of what you're doing. Josh, you have anything to add?
So one thing that I've noticed is Chris mentioned, you know, I recently had the pleasure of presenting at the Cleveland Coding Society, and similar to Chris's experience, there's been what I would say medium understanding and acknowledgement of what's going on in sustainability within the respective companies, but everyone knows this is real. This is something different than we've seen in the past. It's not greenwashing. It's not, you know, taking advantage of just name drop or phrasing. But there's what I would say is a lack of understanding and a need for leadership, specifically within the case industry. This industry is so bent toward the petrochemical side of chemicals that there's a bit of nervousness, I guess I would say. But we're excited from that perspective to showcase to our customers and help our suppliers explain, no, you can be sustainable as a company that is predominantly reliant on petrochemical-based products.
Yes, I think that is a huge misunderstanding for companies. There are many ways that a company can be sustainable regardless of the ingredients that go into their products. So, all right. So my next question, Josh, I'll start with you. Is there a lack of understanding about what sustainability means? So it kind of ties in with what we were just saying, as well as its importance for the future success of companies.
Yeah, I think so. That's what we're seeing a lot of. As I think Chris mentioned, when people hear sustainability, the first thing that they go to is green. And again, in this industry that's traditionally so chemically oriented and, you know, arguably not super green, there's a bit of hesitation because of that. But sustainability is really thinking about the entire picture. Many companies utilize the abbreviation ESG, environmental, societal, and governance, or corporate governance typically. And so it's really meant to say sustainability is looking at the whole picture. Green is part of it. It fits into the environmental classification. But you can have a product that's super green in nature. You know, paper could arguably be super green, but is it truly sustainable if you're using it to a high enough degree that it's detrimenting an entire rainforest? So sustainability looks at the whole package. I like the phrase, instead of the ESG, PPP, people, profit, and planet, is the way that I like to phrase or encapsulate sustainability. And that's how we're trying to educate the market.
Okay, my next question. What are some important reasons that companies should want to be more sustainable other than meeting regulations and doing good for the planet?
That's a great question. I would say meeting regulations is really important because there's usually some financial issues if you're not. but yes, beyond that, and part of it may be getting ahead of the curve, right? I would say that, you know, our government, you know, putting these stage one, stage two, stage three, what that means to a company, on the EPA website, is kind of a teaser for what I think is to come, that we're all going to want to track, our emissions, where we get our electricity from, how that impacts us. I will say in some of those opportunities, as you're building out your plan and part of being a good business and part of being sustainable is going to be here. Are you going to be here 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? Right. And so we can't do everything we want to do all at once. That wouldn't be feasibly sound for our stakeholders. But when you have opportunities that come up, and part of, I think, our sustainability plan is looking at, okay, I've got to replace this piece of equipment. And I'll give you a perfect example. We have a rail car picker that takes materials. It was, I think, diesel-powered rail car picker that needed repair in Southern California. And, you know, we went out of the marketplace and found one that was electric. And it actually is doing a better job. It's not breaking down. We would have had to replace it anyway. And now we've gone to zero emissions. So it was, you know, the right time, and we made the right choice, I would argue, to improve our emission footprint in that particular case. For businesses that, you know, I talked a little bit about hiring and the job market, right? And making yourself attractive to potential employees and getting the best of the best to come work for you. And part of that being because, you know, you're a reputable company that has a plan. I think is another benefit, but I think that there's a lot of financial benefits. If you look at what's going on with the infrastructure plan that the government's put up, so there are billions of dollars for different types of infrastructure, whether that's building bridges, coating bridges, right, improving sewer maintenance and pipe. And you think about what just happened with the last 2 months. I think there was an announcement from the White House that if you want to take advantage of these dollars and the spend, they want it to be U.S. companies, U.S. products being used. And if you can't do it, if there's a reason why you can't do it, you can get a waiver. But they've already changed and thrown something that wasn't in the bill, right, and changed the program. So, you know, how long do you think it is before they would change the program on the next bill, the next spending bill, if you want government money that you have a sustainability plan? I would actually argue that if you're a company that's going to coat a bridge and you can submit your bid with your sustainability plan and your competition submits a bid with no sustainability plan, what do you think the government is going to look more favorably on? And if you can show that, you know, what you're doing with emissions, what you do with regards to your employee and the diversity of your company, right? What you do with the safe handling, what your safety record is, right? All of these things that show that, hey, you're reputable, you're in business for the long term, you care about the environment and your impact. I think all of these things, you know, really give you pause and should make you think as an organization, well, if I'm not there, how do I get there? How do I improve?
Yeah. And in addition to that, you know, what I like to focus on with customers is, you know, two things about what Chris is talking about with regard to regulation. Who's going to, if you want to strictly look at it from where's the profit, who profits more, the one that innovates and is the next disruptor in a market or the one who waits for the regulation to take place? It's the one who is there before the regulation forces them to be there. They're the ones that have the credibility and the name and the time in market of stating and having the backdrop of detail of why they have been sustainable. We've been here all along is what you want to be able to say as a supplier in a market when something new comes around from a regulatory perspective. The second part is where Univar Solutions is really trying to bring together a group of suppliers and producers in the market is to say, when regulations come about, what do they base it on? They base it on what has been happening and what's available and what an industry has already started to do. So we're trying to be leaders in the market to showcase CASE understands sustainability, and we are ahead of these government bodies as far as what is reasonable and rational, and we can then educate them. That way, the regulations reflect rationality and something that is reasonable within the market. And that's what we want to be leaders of in this new development. We want to help shape the regulations to something that is possible, purposeful, and helpful to industry and the world.
So how can suppliers and distributors help coatings market customers be more sustainable or offer more sustainable solutions?
Well, this is another topic that I would say is evolving, right? You know, we are looking at right now as we optimize, you know, our lanes for getting in raw materials, right? we know that if we can bring something in via rail car from Texas to Chicago, for example, we're going to be 83% less emissive than if we ship tank trucks via common carrier for the same materials. And so now we're starting to look at, okay, well, how can we, you know, quantify and document that savings in emission? And can we share that with our customers? So much of what we do is transportation and warehousing. And are we doing it the best way possible? We're also looking at technologies with electric vehicles. Personally, this is one of those things about sustainability. And when you start to look at the technology that you need to improve your emissions profile, I'm proud that, we've got the first trucks that were coming off the line. And it's a start. I'm hoping that hydrogen fuel cell technology gets to the point where that's also part of our fleet, because getting things from that last mile, as we say it. So if we can get it in via rail, repackage it, getting it transloaded to bulk, get it into the package that's right for our customers, and then focus on that last mile. If that last mile can be zero emissions, right? We are helping them on their incoming raw material. I think that the other thing that Josh is working on, he can talk about, is our product line card. So we're currently in the process of working with all of our suppliers to understand the new technology that they have coming out. And there is, I mean, for a largely petroleum-based industry, there is technology that's petroleum-based that can allow us to coat something less often, right? So you think about the VOC impact and how that affects the environment. Well, if you coat something every year, you're constantly putting emissions out there. Well, what if you're coating something once every 20 or 30 years? Or once every 5 years, right? And so now the VOC emissions are cut. Your labor costs are cut. Truly could be cost savings over the life of that coating. And are we communicating properly to our customers the technology that's available today? We have some suppliers that are looking at renewable resources and incorporating them into isocyanates. I won't name drop any suppliers right now, but there is that technology that's coming. There's technology coming where a supplier is looking at taking sugarcane and making a wax out of it. So waxes that are used very commonly in different paints and coatings. They've got the technology right now to make one molecular weight wax that is truly derived from a renewable resource, sugarcane. I'm excited to see where the technology leads us. You know, once we identify a problem and being, so dependent on oil, it's amazing on what we do to rise to an occasion, right? And in a very short period of time, you have seen polymers that are near low, very low VOC, from acrylic manufacturers. And now to see, isocyanates and waxes and other technologies looking to renewable resources to see, can a portion of that be renewable as opposed to being dependent on oil? Could the entire molecule come from a renewable resource? I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and along those lines, Chris is saying, it's not a light switch. We don't go from off to on as far as completely renewable. So when we look at the line card and the portfolio of offerings that do fall under the banner of sustainability, we're trying to help bucketize those. You've got the bio, the renewable, those green products that there's a finite number that you can place to it, whether it's RCI content or other indicators. And then there's the other bucket of sustainable solutions, the things that bring about the spray foam that helps you get a LEED registered building. That spray foam isn't terribly green yet, but it is delivering something that is very sustainable in nature. And so we're working with our suppliers, as Chris mentioned, to stage gate that the products coming into our customers are sustainable to that point, and then the responsibility transitions to them as far as handling. And to help them with that second part, we also utilize our solution centers around the globe to help them in their formulating and giving them ideas about APO-free, VOC-free alternatives from solvent to water-based, but nothing is ever going to be black and white. You know, no chemical is truly bad. It's how do you utilize it that really makes the difference. We're not going to sit here and say that any of our portfolio needs to go because it's not sustainable. No, it has to do with how it's employed and how much you beat that drum, you know, to the point about oil isn't bad. We maybe just have been utilizing it a little bit too much for everything. So we need to spread out our demands, and that's where our solution centers really come into play. We can help find offsets and alternatives and slot in a lot of different solutions. Will EVs be the solution to our congestion on the road? It's probably going to be a mix of a lot of different fuel types. No one silver bullet is going to solve all our woes.
So overall, how is Univar Solutions approaching the issue of sustainability? And also, what are some ways that other companies are doing it that you've seen?
That's a good question. We're taking a multi-prong look at it. Definitely emissions is key, right? That is one piece. But when we look at our people, we have goals for diversity and how we can continue to improve diversity in the workplace. We have safety goals that where we're measuring ourselves. I mean, you think about what we handle as a company, whether it's flammable things that you would not want to get into the water. And Josh, commented on surfactants, right? Looking at APO free because you don't want those APOs getting into a water stream as you wash up or clean up that coating. So I think that, those are some of the things, just a couple of the things that we're doing. I mean, Josh, do you want to elaborate a little bit more on our sustainability plan as a corporation?
Sure. And from a corporate level, we've got currently an 8-pillar plan that's also evolving. Again, none of this is meant to be, this is what we're doing, and it's all we'll be doing going forward. It's been an evolving process as we embrace sustainability. And again, focusing in on those three P's that we talked about before, people, planet, and profit. From a people perspective, as Chris mentioned, we've got broad-ranging DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion goals to make sure that everybody enjoys working at Univar Solutions and appreciates what we are doing in our initiatives. From the planet perspective, Chris mentioned some of our investments in our pickers, the solar plants that we're putting into virtually all of our key warehouses and continuing to expand those. Work from home, by the way. Univar Solutions is proud that we've been implementing our flexible works for me schedule based on your particular role and making sure that people are considered from their personal lives as well as what their job actually is. And again, nothing is a truly black and white on or off. There's flexibility around schedules that help with the people aspect. And then from profitability, everything that we do is going to be transparent because we are a publicly traded company, and we're going to keep in mind that aspect with all of these initiatives to make sure that whatever we do today doesn't detriment our company tomorrow, because the world would be a worse place, in our opinion, without Univar Solutions. We're here to help the long term, the people and the planet. So we want to make sure that from the investor perspective, everybody appreciates what we're doing and they want to see more of it. So the community will see more and more development on this aspect of our sustainability goals. We've been excited, as Chris mentioned, about last year and this forthcoming sustainability report that'll be coming out. And you'll see us continue to bolt on more and more detail about what we plan to do. The line cards that we mentioned will come out from the various lines of business like CASE, but this is a very mindful process. And that's what I want to make sure is clear. We did not want to throw something out there and just make it look like, we're not trying to just throw something to see if it sticks. We're being very mindful and deliberate with our suppliers to make sure that they're engaged and that we're all on the same page as far as what we're offering and why. We don't ever want the community to think that we are greenwashing or throwing something out there just because it looks flashy. We are being truthful, and we will have the background if we're ever challenged as to why we're stating something is sustainable, especially as these regulations continue to develop.
Great. And I'm curious, as you're working with other companies, whether it's suppliers or coatings manufacturers, are you seeing similar strategies with other companies? Have you seen anything different that companies are doing?
Yeah, I think this is where sustainability becomes a bit unique, right? So as a distributor, we don't use a lot of water. I mean, we do have, washing, safety, right? Eye washes, showers, things of that nature. But because we're not a manufacturer, we don't really use a lot of water as a distributor. But a supplier is different, right? And so many of our suppliers do have, what are they doing to manage water waste streams, minimize the use of water, right? Which is a pretty precious natural resource. So that does come into play on the manufacturing side. It was interesting, a side note, not in the case industry, but there was a weather special, and part of the weather special in Wisconsin was talking about sustainability, which I found really interesting because they feel that there is an effect, right, of emissions on the environment and an increase in storms. And so they went there for about 10 minutes and they talked about two things very dear to Wisconsin, beer and cheese. And in this talk, they talked about a cheese manufacturer that relies on cows and grain and how they organically source that material and how they actually capture the methane from the cows, from cow's waste. And they use that methane to fuel their facility. So the trucks, the heat, everything is fueled on that facility. And it reminded me of, being in college many, many years ago and having a summer job and working for the city of Brookfield and learning that they had the opportunity at that time to put in a methane reclaim unit. And because of the expense, 30 plus years ago, they didn't do it. But there are other facilities around the U.S. that, in the case of wastewater treatment, they can capture the methane from treating wastewater and fuel all of the city vehicles. It was an upfront cost that they didn't want to incur, but there are places today that do that. And so, I think about these things and I think about, okay, so what's unique to what I do and how can I take that and then really curtail my sustainability plan to make sure that I'm doing the best for what I do in the industry. So I think of paint manufacturers and water would definitely be a part of that, right? What are you putting into the city sewer? I mean, there are regulations in place now, but how can we minimize that? We look at minimizing the waste. So you think about reclaimed drum. A large part of our business is solvents. We have a dedicated team globally to solvent sales. So when they pick up drums of material, can they reclaim those drums? And when they reclaim those drums, what do they do with any residual solvent that's left in there? And how are we handling it and treating it? So, one of our goals is reduction of waste. I'm sure that many, many of our paint companies would have that as part of their sustainability profile as well.
One of the areas that is interesting here is that as a distributor, we have the opportunity to help in this, to help facilitate distribution of information. So we're normally distributing product. Here, as Chris mentioned, we as a distributor don't necessarily use a lot of water or produce the products, but we know a lot of people that do. And we can help educate downstream of us in the market from the various upstream pieces of information, sensitive of IP and others, of course. But we can be a repository and a conduit for helping our customers in the overall market understand what are some best practices when it comes to sustainability and utilizing their strengths to help everybody else.
And it made me think too of packaging, another topic, right? So think about how many of our customers repackage and they're a growing number. You go to the paint store, right? It used to be in metal cans, now they're plastic cans. Right, which in many cases, plastics can be recyclable. And you think about the total impact, right, on the plastic manufacturer. We actually sell some materials that allow you to incorporate more recycled materials in your plastic. Well, think about if you could show your customers that we have a source for our packaging that uses recycled material, and you can put that, and that's a real claim that you can share with customers. And you can recycle our package when it's done. It doesn't just end up in a landfill, right? I mean, thinking about that full cycle, product cycle, I think is part of that plan too. And it's neat being a distributor, being involved in the technology on so many different levels, right? Being involved in, Josh mentioned our solution centers, right? Helping people formulate the next generation of product with the least impactful way with the technology we have today. And 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that'll continue to evolve. And we'll still be there doing that and continuing to help our customers improve in the marketplace. But then because of all the other businesses that we touch, we do impact even the container. And I know that a lot of our suppliers are looking at minimizing their packaging. And you see it on the store shelves too, and things that we buy every day. Where you're seeing packaging get smaller and less impactful because you put less than it in the garbage, in the recycle bin, hopefully, versus the waste pile.
Yeah. Well, thank you both. This has been super interesting, and it seems like our industry certainly has a ways to go. It's a continually evolving journey, the sustainability journey. I think it would be interesting to have the same conversation with you guys in a couple of years to see how things have changed. So maybe we'll have to discuss doing that. So thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you. And I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning in. Until next time.